Hello and welcome to Q&A Quest episode 447. I'm your host, Wheels, aka Sony and Microsoft can suck shit. And with me as always.
Confused Wheels Herder, David McCurney, Fanboy Master.
Joe, that's and your
this
turn.
Is, oh, okay. Well, yeah, Guido's not here. Okay. This is Smokin' Joe Gamer. You may know me from such places as my Twitch channel and the RP Gamer Twitch channel and YouTube and Discord.
And we have a guest.
Woohoo! It's Platinum 3. The pixel remastered version.
Nice.
Ugh. You might know
is that
me
nice?
From
Are
other
those,
podcasts.
Do we like
no,
those?
I don't. I am a known hater of the aesthetic of the pixel remasters.
That's right.
No, I'm just finishing up Final Fantasy 3 pixel remaster.
For, like, that's J-RPG the better, July. Like, among official English versions, that's your better choice.
Yeah.
But, like, I hate how they look.
Hey, we're going to cover them all in August on RPG Backtrack, so I figured at least
I need to remember. Oh, God, I have to be on the next one in 2 days. Shit.
Yes, yeah, I'm completing my Grand Slam, although I guess it's only like a triple, since I co-hosted RPG Cast on Saturday, and we're going to be together in 2 nights, so I figured why not go smack dab in the middle and join y'all tonight.
Cool, sweet.
And I got to hang out with Wheels a couple weeks ago and promised I'd be on the show, so...
It's true, and it's a good thing you
then went on second vacation.
It's a good thing you weren't on the one you were threatening to come on, because I was literally asleep, I think, for a third of that episode. I was so tired.
You're really making this seem like a professional operation.
Wasn't it like the day you drove home?
No, it was. Yeah, actually, it was the day. I mean, it was. I only drove for like 4 hours that day, but still.
Oh, okay.
I had to spend 2 days. Yeah.
Stay tuned for the next RPG Backtrack, where I will be carrying discussion as much as I possibly can, because I have strong opinions on video games. I'm not sure if I'm allowed to say what games they are.
Oh yeah, go ahead. We say it all the time nowadays.
If you remember, if you knew and hated the episode where I took over the entire discussion about Persona 3 and said the game sucked, hey, guess what?
I remember that.
Sucks, I remember sitting in the garage and just listening to you go on and on about it. I'm like, this is great. This is great.
Because I had played through the game across its many versions, like 10.
Mm. Yeah.
Yep.
Which fangs any of my statements in the games. Because it's 100 hours and I played through it 9 times.
Yeah.
Well, all I would say to that is I played Persona 3 Portable on the PSP. That was my starting point with that entire series, by the way. And liked it well enough. But then as soon as I got Persona 4 Golden on the Vita, it was like, oh, this is better. So that would be my opinion on it.
Also,
yeah,
Persona 3 Portable, still the best version of Persona 3.
It is, yeah.
I enjoyed
it. Yeah, so if you enjoyed that, prepare to listen to me be the curmudgeon that like played through Persona 1 and said... And is here to complain about everything that sucks about how it's constructed.
Ooh, can you bring up how it deleted all the saves on my PSP memory card?
I still don't even know how that happened, man. I've never heard anyone else report that bug.
I mean, I don't know if it was that, but it was what I was playing when that happened. So I've never been able to go back and like really dig into that game again.
It's going to be great. I'm going to talk about how I beat it on PSP, how I rented it as a child on the PS1, and all of the misadventures that went with that. And then I will mention that I got the Ultimate Personas by accident by just saying things whenever the game asked.
Beautiful.
Okay, but that's a preview. Go listen to that, which will be up probably by the time that Wheels...
Yeah, by the time Wheels gets this one up, I will have edited Backtrack, and it'll be there for a few days.
The host has left his chair. That's okay.
Now you can kill him.
What?
You can do it. Like, when he leaves the chair, it's like he's got a geopan.
Well, there's things you can do. That doesn't mean you should. Jeez.
Can't believe you're not willing to kill Wheels for the sake for the throne.
He gives me free stuff sometimes.
Hey, monetary incentives, that's all you need.
Why do you think I stream for RP Gamer? I get free stuff sometimes.
There you go. I know. I feel like it was a. I feel it was a typo. I think I won a Employee of the Month twice in the past year. Really? Did I do that?
Because I thought it was Editor of the Month, and I was like, oh, but wait, if it's Employee of the Month, I might be eligible, but I don't know what I'd have to do, and I don't know if I want to do it.
I might be eligible too, but I've never won it because I've never put in more than a quarter ass worth of effort. So
yeah,
I think the last time it was because I think I co-hosted three straight RPG casts with Chris out and
okay.
It's important to be the pinch hitter.
Yeah. Yep, I think I've done more of them in the past year than I had in like the 5 years previous. Chris got a job where he's on call monthly, so I am the pitch editor, apparently. So should we talk about what we've been playing?
Sure, tell me what you've been playing, dear friend.
Hello, I didn't notice we were on yet.
Oh, we just started.
Gaijin.
Introduce yourself!
Hi, your man in Japan here, Michael Baker, Gaijin Monogatari. I am currently at home with my daughter, who is suffering from a sinus infection, so she's going to be watching One Piece in the background. I'll try to keep the noise down here.
That sounds fun.
Yes. Currently on the Wano Kuni arc, so lots of ninjas and samurai.
To repeat that, you'll have to repeat that when Wheels gets here, because he's the only one here with context for what that.
Yeah, yep, no clue. Means.
Oh, here he comes.
Okay.
Unless you got a number between 1 and 1400, I got no idea.
What's going on?
My daughter's home feeling kind of ill, and she's watching one of the later episodes in the Wano Kuni arc of One Piece in the background.
Nice.
So we got ninjas and samurai.
Awesome. That's a good arc. It's also very long.
Okay.
Especially in the anime.
You just described all of them.
No, there's some shorter arcs.
Are there any short ones?
Yeah.
Here and there.
Only at the start.
No, was it Full Cake or Whole Cake? That arc isn't that long.
I'm refusing to acknowledge whatever it is you're saying.
It's also not. So.
Tell us about what you have been playing. Whoever takes the crown gets to start talking.
Alright, I'll go, because it's not a whole lot. I was talking earlier before the show. I had been playing the Final Fantasy III Pixel Remaster.
I did that once, too.
Yep, I feel like I should have probably done some homework for the RPG Backtrack, since I'm a co-host of that podcast. So, we're going to be talking all the Pixel Remaster.
Did you figure out how stupid that game's stat system is?
Oh my, you know what? First of all, I don't understand. I'm at the end game now. My buddy's like, you need to grind. I'm like, I do not need to grind. I have had like the 2 to 4 time experience on the whole time. I'm good. But
guess,
like,
guess what?
I can jump with my dragoons, do 99 damage, and yet I can still get hit for, gosh, 20 to 80% of my life by just random enemies. Like, I don't understand the defensive thing in this game.
Like, jumping is super slow. One, jumping is super slow, not worth your time. Two, the only stat that carries between jobs is your HP. And so that means that the most advantageous job to grind as is Viking.
Oh.
Like, that is the one that has the best HP growths. That is the one that you use to get everyone to, like, 4 9s if you're going for that. But yeah, otherwise, like, honestly, end game, just get some ninjas and sages. That's what they want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You'll get them in the final dungeon.
Yeah, I remember playing, I played on the DS and loved it back in the day, but for this go around, since we're going to talk all six of them, it's the only one I never played in Pixel. So
That game's class system was never meant to be mix and match or any other thing at all. It was very much, it needs to be progressed along the path that it shows you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's pretty rigid. But yeah.
It's fine. It's not.
That's why five is a much better game. So.
Three has its charms, but you have to be accepting that it is not attempting to do what you were expecting from a job system.
Yeah.
But yeah, congrats on that.
That and some Monster Train 2 is pretty much all I'm playing these days.
Nice. Join Love Train. Yes. Love Train.
I'm a whole year behind on that. I finally got into Monster Train last summer, and I am not at Wheels level where I'm going to probably, you know, get the real ending and know everything about every card.
I haven't done that much in that game yet.
Oh, okay. But I set my goal last summer, and I did it in about 30 hours. I maxed every race to their maximum level. I won enough, I did enough runs, a lot of successful ones near the end, but I got every race all maxed out. And I'm like, okay, you know, at this point I can make a successful run 2 out of 3 times, and I'm good. So that's my goal for Monster Train 2 here. Although there's twice as many races, so it's going to take a lot longer. But I've already found the broken one and having fun with my little mushroom under Legion people.
Nice.
So that's been my summer gaming so far.
My summer gamecation.
Yes, I gotta get to when Final Fantasy 3 is over. I gotta get to Kiseki. We're doing Kiseki Christmas in December.
Oh, Kiseki.
Backtrack. Kiseki, yep. And we're finally, I think we talked, it might have been even 2 years ago when we finally finished off Cold Steel 4, and we just haven't gone back to that for a while. Everybody needed a break.
Yeah, I know exactly when you were finishing that off, yeah.
Yep. And now I'm like, oh crud, we're already 4 games behind again. So,
yeah, I need to dive back into Kiseki. I've been putting that off, but I suppose time waits for no man.
Hopefully between now and Christmas, I get Reverie, whatever it is.
Reverie,
that's it. Yep. Reverie and into the next one. Daybreak. Yep. So Reverie and Daybreak 1, which seems like 2 different games. So it's not like I got to just
One is essentially a Sky the Third type thing, and the other is. Clearly, so
maybe I'll be able to do these back to back. Yeah, it'll be a different.
I've done it before. It is possible.
Yep.
Kiseki games back.
I was talking to Wheels today. I was like, I don't know if I can do like 150 hours straight of Reen, but at least this will be a hard turn between the two games.
Can't believe you would say this about poor Reen Coldsteel. Don't worry, you'll still see him.
Oh, hi, dear.
Oh, God.
He's the chosen one.
He's the most popular boy.
Oh, yep. That reminds me. Remember the story I've told before where I got stuck in the Haunted Mansion in Coldsteel 1?
And then I lapped you. Playing that fast.
When I was setting up the new PS3 I got when I sold Joe back to the original one, I was looking at saves and realized that. So I'd used the cross-save with the PS3 version of Coldsteel 1, and the last time I had done so was before I went into the Haunted Mansion. Which means...
Oh, yes, I remember because I was talking to you while you were doing this.
Yeah, which means I can now go back when I get to Coldsteel 1.
I don't remember why in the Haunted Mansion.
Why what?
Do you even remember why you were in the Haunted Mansion?
I was just continuing along in the story.
No, I mean in terms of why the story had.
No, I don't.
You go there.
You're gonna like pick that up right there when you finally reach that. It'd be the most infuriating thing in the world because you're not gonna remember anything.
Well, now I'm going to be returning to it. Before that point is my point. So I can grind some more and get, I forget what status ailment is a problem in there, but get gear to prevent that beforehand.
Oh.
It'll be good.
don't even, like, I blazed right through that. I don't remember anything about what could possibly have held you back there.
I don't think that really happens a lot in those games.
Yeah, like, can't think of a dungeon that's more than a speed bump in those games, other than the final ones.
Yeah, yeah. Those are nothing but
speed. Final ones are bastards.
Yep.
I was playing on hard.
Yeah, well, why?
Because I'm an idiot.
I've noticed. Now, I spent so many years trying to break you with it.
When you play on hard and you lose a battle, do you try it at a lower difficulty?
I don't remember if that's an option.
In Cold Steel. Usually is in those games. It'll even say it. It'll be like, do you want to redo this battle at a lower difficulty? Like, you don't even have to change the difficulty. It'll do it for you.
I don't think I don't remember that being an option in Cold Steel 1. I don't think it was.
It may not be because you have it on hard. That could be something, too.
Yeah.
Yep.
But this all stems from some RPG I played. I don't even remember what it was that was too freaking easy. And now I'm always worried about turn-based RPGs being too easy. Instead of investigating and find out if they are in fact too easy.
Mm-hmm. No, instead you just FAFO. Yes.
Yep.
Yeah.
First around, found out. I don't know.
Whatever it is, yeah.
No, I was making a joke about first in, first out versus fuck around, find out.
Yeah. Garbage in, garbage out.
I appreciate that.
That's for the wheels is in the audience. Gaijin, what have you been playing?
I prefer the stack approach.
Well, it's actually, let me check the date here. Okay, so one of the things I've been playing is no... Yeah. One of the things I've been playing is no longer under embargo, which is okay. But I mean, it's a game called Witch of the Dark Castle, which is essentially a choose-your-own-adventure book
with a
game sheet where you keep track of hit points and stuff and roll dice. So it's like just a digital version of an old Japanese game book type game.
Time to play level.
Which has been interesting, and it's like, okay, I really need to write up a deep look for it. And also, I have another Steam focused update, full steam ahead update for the site for Getting the Car Loser, because I played that for part of last month. And I figured since we already have a perfectly serviceable review for it, but I was playing it like 5 years after the fact, and also with all the DLC enabled. So I figured, you know, this is worth mentioning as a different experience. Also, Sam was very, very adamant that the game did not play very well with keyboard controls. So I'm like, yeah, the Steam Deck was working much better with that aspect. And other than that, I've almost all the way back through Little Witch in the Woods again, just because I felt like it and saw Becky Cunningham was playing it elsewhere. I was like, you know what? I want to see if they've updated anything, and they have updated a few things, and had some more fun.
Two games.
Yeah. Oh, but yeah, that's about it. And just mostly other than that, just trying to manage the creative writing side and stuff.
Oh. And we will definitely be hearing more about the writing side soon. But.
Yeah.
Let's keep moving on down the line. Joe, what have you been playing?
Okay. Main thing I've been playing is Kingdom Hearts.
I finally
got around to actually playing it, because years ago people were giving me a hard time about it. Like, I can't believe you never played it. So I have the 1.5 plus 2.5 collection, whatever, on PS4, and I guess that's actually like 8 or 9 games, not just 2 games.
It's 1.5 and 2.5 is 4 games. It is Kingdom Hearts 1, Chain of Memories 2, and Birth by Sleep, as well as the cutscenes from 358 Days Over 2, and Recoded, I think.
Got it. But that's one reason I took so long to get into the series is because I was like, well, where do I start? What do these numbers mean? What are these words? So I guess I'm playing
eventually
one final mix. Yeah.
Yes. Eventually they just had done with it and had a PS4 package that was just labeled Kingdom Hearts all in one pack. And it was just so Kingdom Hearts. Yeah, and it was like, there was the story so far, which was 1.5, 2.5, and 2.8. And then there was all in one package, which was 1.5, 2.5, 2.8, and 3.
And they're coming out with another bundle.
Okay, just to be clear, we're still talking about Kingdom Hearts and not Windows updates, right?
So listen.
I step away for a moment and it's all number point number. I'm like, okay.
Listen, that could also have been Nier Games or AvaC.
True. But I'm not as familiar with those.
They like nothing. Kingdom Hearts has never dreamed of a title as Evangelion 3.01 plus 1.01 thrice upon a time.
That was awful. Yeah.
Yeah.
1.11, 2.22.
Yes, but all of the different ideas that people came up with for that acronym for that one DS game. What was it Dream Drop Distance? Wasn't it?
Yeah, 3D yeah. Dream Drop Distance.
Which yeah, is, so, and all
Kingdom Hearts standards
things
are pretty...
Yeah.
By Kingdom Hearts standards, Dream Drop Distance is actually a pretty straightforward title, since it is a game about going further and further into Dream World.
Oh, no, I'm talking about all the alternative acronyms people came up with for it. Yeah. So
you're in Final Mix?
For this year, for JRPG July with RP Gamer, I am streaming Kingdom Hearts 1.5 plus 2.5, and we'll see how far I can get. I at this point, I'm only streaming like 4 or 5 hours a week, so I don't know how long it'll take to get through that, but...
Kingdom Hearts 1 is only about 20, 25 long.
Yeah. What I'm going to say is, I'd say it's a product of its time, I would say. There's no map, there's no compass, there's no GPS, there's no quest log as far as I can tell, and I've had to look up some guides online, and it's like a lot of the game progression is I'm going to just keep re-entering rooms and keep talking to NPCs until I trigger the next cutscene.
Yes, what level you're...
What?
Like, what levels have you done? I'm curious.
Oh, well, so at this point, I made it through the Alice in Wonderland area and the Tarzan area, and I just cleared the Hercules area. So Hercules area was fine. That was pretty straightforward. Yeah.
Yeah, the thing I was going to say is the levels tend to get simpler as they go on.
Okay.
With monsters, can be confusing, but it's clearly meant to be. It is just, like, weirdly designed. Mm-hmm. And Atlantica is confusing because it's hard to navigate 3D space. Like, when you get to, like, Halloween Town or Neverland, those are pretty straightforward.
That's good.
Agrabah is also pretty straightforward.
Yeah, I guess I'm going to Agrabah next, because I had to go back to the main city.
Yeah, you go back to Traverse Town.
I had to go into the canal, and I had to stand in a certain spot to get them to break the gate, to go into a cave, to talk to the guy from Final Fantasy VIII and Aerith, and then they want me to go talk to Cid, but then Cid is like, oh, well, you need to go under the door with the fire on it, and I couldn't get it to open, and then turns out you have to shoot it with fire to open it. It's like, oh, I didn't think of that. Okay. And then Merlin and the Fairy Godmother start telling you how to summon Simba. So it's multiverse nonsense, and it's okay so far. Combat is pretty simplistic, but I had a real hard time with the vine swinging section in Tarzan.
Nothing else in the game functions like that, which is very funny. Also, yeah. I'm gonna briefly tell you, Tarzan World is like, legally there's something tied up with it, because like, they're allowed to re-release Kingdom Hearts 1, but they've never brought it back, and any time its events are referenced, which is in several games, they're always very vague about the Tarzan characters. I guess because of the estate of Edgar Rice Burroughs?
I mean, that's about the only literary estate around that has that much clout left.
So, but yeah, I mean, like...
It's kind of ridiculous how much the Burroughs estate, how much control it has, just because it was one of the first ones to actually set up a like a rights management system like that, and everybody involved had no idea how much power they were ceding to the foundation for that.
Yeah, I'm genuinely shocked that there's essentially any Tarzan story still under copyright at this stage, but
yeah.
Yep. They are very careful with that.
I think if I get to Disney properties that I care more about, I think I'll like it more, because Alice in Wonderland is fine, but I'm wondering about the logic here. You do Alice in Wonderland, then Tarzan, then Hercules, and I'm thinking, well, Tarzan and Hercules probably would have been relatively new when this came out, and I never watched Tarzan, so I'm like, whatever.
In any order.
Yeah, right. It's not...
Like, most people end up doing Alice in Wonderland first, because, the level designator says it's the easiest, yes. But you can do them in any order.
Yeah.
But
so I cleared those three areas. I'm looking forward to Halloween Town, and I know I don't get the Toy Story till Kingdom Hearts 3, but that's something else to look forward to, I guess.
Yeah, Toy Story is a really fun world. 3's worlds are really expansive and detailed. 2 just has fun. There's so many worlds in 2, and 2 does this kind of cute thing where you return to a world. You go to each world twice. They each have their own little self-contained sequel stories.
Okay.
Which is kind of fun. The other thing that's funny is that they've already they're done the Aladdin storyline. End of 1. 2 is kind of doing Return of Jafar, even though it's not literally doing Return of Jafar. Very strange. Also,
yes, the straight to VHS sequels to Aladdin. Yep,
yeah,
they're actually good.
They're not quite good.
They brought Robin Williams back for the third one.
No, they're good, and so is the TV show. Actually,
I mean, the TV show is very well bookended by the second and third movie.
Mm.
So, I mean, that Disney has done much worse in this regard.
And also, one of the few good live-action remakes is Aladdin, because they actually did something with that.
So yeah. I'm gonna bring up one other bit of Kingdom Hearts deep lore that will mean nothing. Go ahead.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. It's just the fact that there's an ice cream that shows up repeatedly in later games that is labeled sea salt ice cream because it's because they're relating it to the ice cream that's served at various Disney parks. But looking at its model, I think it's just supposed to be Gotti Gotti Koons.
They're dongles.
It would not be obvious to anyone who's never been to Japan.
Yeah, you look at it and it's this is a cheap kind of shaved ice popsicle thing that's blue, and it's this is just Gotti Gotti Koon.
That is very much Gotti Gotti Koon.
But can I get Dongo? And what is Dongo, anyways?
Okay. Dongo is rice flour, rice flour that's been pounded into a paste and then turned into a ball and lightly cooked.
Oh.
So it's really sticky and soft.
Yeah, it's pleasant.
Every game I've played,
rice flour taffy, basically.
Yeah.
Oh, wasn't that the whole point of that first cook in Rune Factory?
Yes.
Guardians of Azuma, yep.
That first girl, she has her own dongo shop. And then a professional food critic comes by, and she screws it up the first time because she takes advice from other people and tries to make something different, and he didn't like it. But then when she just made plain old dongo from her mom's recipe or whatever, then he loved it, and then,
Surprise.
So I was going to ask...
Dongo is a kind of pleasantly sweet confection, but it's not ice cream.
Right. So can I go to Hawaii, or is Stitch just a summon?
It's no Stitch.
He appears in Birth by Sleep.
Okay.
Is there's a Stitch world in Birth by Sleep? I haven't played Birth by Sleep in a long time.
I don't know.
Someone's got something to fix. But yeah, Birth by Sleep picks up a lot of like movies where it's like, why hasn't that had a world? And it's like, oh, it turns out it was all in Birth by Sleep, because it's like, oh, here's the Snow White world and the Cinderella world. Like a lot of the Disney classics are just like banished to Birth by Sleep.
Okay. I love that game. I do need to play that one.
It's a very neat game.
Yeah.
So
I do appreciate that they've been very studious in making sure that the main games are all still available, and even the mobile games they delisted, they just made it so that if you download the app, it just lets you play all the cutscenes.
I do appreciate that they didn't make anyone replay. I mean, when you've got this
weird of an interconnected narrative going on, you kind of need the back references, so I'm sure it's appreciated.
And yet so many companies don't, so I appreciate it even more.
Yeah.
But yes, to answer one other thing that Joe had mentioned about there being another collection, this will in fact be the third set of titles that this collection has gone under. Because there's the all-in-one package we mentioned already. Then on PC, and when it was a cloud game on Switch, it was called Interregnum Masterpiece.
Okay.
Okay.
With, like, Interregnum as a word is extremely strange to use here.
Between kingdoms, or between kings.
Yeah, between kingdoms, which I suppose is supposed to reference the idea that, like, it's... Integrum. I mispronounced. But, yes, Integrum Masterpiece. Like, it in all of its...
Yeah, so the only difference with this upcoming collection is that it's going to be on PS5 and Switch 2. But it's also...
And two of them will be on Switch 1. Yes,
everything but 3 will be on Switch 1. Actually, instead of cloud version.
Yeah, I don't know if 2.8 will be.
Oh yeah, you're right, I don't think it is. I think it specifically says
because
2.5.
Yeah, because it doesn't have 0.2, a fragmentary passage, because that's a essentially Kingdom Hearts 3.
I gotta quote Homer here. I'm living in a cuckoo clock.
It's fine. Listen, it's not confusing at all. It's totally normal.
So I was gonna say I'm gonna end the Kingdom Hearts discussion just by saying that I do intend to keep streaming it, but I do need to have a guide open because I get very frustrated when I don't know where I'm supposed to go. But
2 is a lot better, so you should stick.
Yeah,
the others. Yeah. The other thing to note about 2 is that 2 is when they start introducing weirdo fucked up worlds like Tron.
Oh, I like Tron.
Yeah, Tron shows up in 2 as the world's space paranoids. And then, I will say, I'm very glad that the 3DS game came out exactly when it did, because there was no other time that anyone would even consider a Tron Legacy world. Like, absolutely not. No one would have even... like allowed that to be thought about. It's
I watched that when it came out. Like, it wasn't that bad. I don't know.
It's pretty good. I'm saying that it failed. So Disney was like, no, we're not talking about this anymore for 10 years, and then it failed again. But
it failed again. So another item in the list of Jared Leto just appears to ruin things.
Like the baffling concept of Tron Ares, which is like, what if we gave a Tron movie for Jared Leto to run? It's like, well, the answer is that no one wants, like, you wouldn't have made it without him, but nobody wants to see
him. Right.
But yeah, Space Paranoids is a highlight of 2.
I actually watched that one because my youngest wanted to watch something Tron because he couldn't go on the Tron ride, I should say, at Disney.
You should have tricked him and showed him video of the misadventures of Tron Bond.
Damn.
That doesn't make
sense. He was very bored by the original Tron, so we watched the new one. It was okay.
I'd have probably watched Legacy if I had the choice between those. But perhaps he did not.
I think there was a reason we didn't. Maybe he tried watching Legacy and he didn't stick to that one either. I don't remember.
Legacy is my favorite Journey song when he finds the secret entrance to the Tron world.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I might have mentioned this already, but I did finish Mina the Hollower on July 1st. It ended up being a 3.5-hour stream because I knew I was close to the end. So I finished it just in time to switch to Kingdom Hearts for JRPG July. So, Lena the Hollower took me 20 hours to beat. That was on standard difficulty, no modifiers, and I got most of the upgrades, I think. And I thought I got the bad ending, but then somebody mentioned that, no, if something...
That was Wheels.
If you think you got the bad ending, you may have actually gotten the good ending. I'm like, okay. So...
They don't play it close to the vest, what kind of world means.
Yeah. So there was that. I finally started Darwin's Paradox, which I also refer to as Metal Gear Octodad. Who's that man in the cardboard cube? It's just a box. Nobody suspects a thing.
I still have my tie from that game, I think.
Yeah, so I started playing that, and first off, what a gorgeous looking game, and it was cheap. I got it for like $17. And it's just a cute little platformer with some stealth and a little bit of puzzle solving. It's pretty neat. I think it's cool. I wouldn't sleep on that one, and you can get it pretty cheap. It's a Konami game, but I guess maybe it's an indie game. I don't know. Or I mean, maybe it was a small team, but neat little cheap, cute game. And I did play a little more of Indiana Jones and the Great Circle. It was on sale during the Steam summer sale, and I had found out that I could log into my Xbox account and download the cloud save, and that might be useful information for other people who want to separate themselves from Microsoft. There are several first-party games. If you buy them on Steam, you can log into your account and download your save file. I did that with Avowed and Indiana Jones. I can't confirm other titles, but look it up. I think Forza Horizon 6 might fall into that category as well. So, and thankfully my computer runs it quite well. So, I got through this. Like,
computer belongs in a museum, Joe.
Probably. Yeah. So then the
hit Wheels for the tire.
I got through this like underground tomb where it's like it's a picture of Jesus, and then you have to match up. Like you have to pour red wine into certain receptacles based on which body part is highlighted in a particular painting. And yeah, that was neat. And then the fascists come in and I was able to sneak past all of them to get out. And now I'm talking to a nun who is actually a reporter. So it's pretty wild.
I just want to tell you how I completed that mission.
I know.
I punched all the Nazis in the face or hit them in the head with shovels, because that was granted a much more difficult way, but a much more satisfying way to finish that
section. Up to this point, I have been doing that. I've been killing them or punching them whenever possible, but this was one section where I'm like, there's a lot of them and I need to go to bed and I just want to get out of here and save the game. But no, I agree with the principle of it. You know, why would I want to stealth? Of course I'm going to punch him. It's a neat game. There's definitely some catharsis there.
I don't mean to interrupt. I just going to say, I really, really appreciate that they didn't try and make another Tomb Raider clone out of Indiana Jones, because I feel like it shouldn't really be that. And what they've made is really, I think, a much better realization of an Indiana Jones game than we've gotten previously.
I do feel like I'm playing one of the movies, and I like that. And I like that it's also not going full on Wolfenstein clone either, although it's pretty close. I like the puzzle solving, and I like a lot about it. Yeah, there's a lot of cool stuff you can do in that game. I like eating all of the food, you know.
Machine Games does good work.
They do. So,
through fourth and fifth Indiana Jones's, Fate of Atlantis and Great Circle.
Yeah, so then...
Is Fate of Atlantis good? I've never actually...
So also during
Fate
this...
No, it's a wonderful point-and-click adventure.
Okay. So then during this Steam sale, I haven't played them that much yet, but I got Replaced, which I talked about last week. It's got like a... kind of like a 32-bit art style... it's a side-scrolling platformer, but it's kind of doing like a cyberpunk setting, but also like post-apocalypse. It's pretty neat. So you get fused with a robot, and then you're out in the wilderness fighting like raiders who look like they're from Mad Max, and it has the like Batman Arkham style combat in 2D, which is pretty neat. So I played that, and then I got Escape from Dukhov. I have not played it yet, but it looks like it's
That's
obviously
not
it's
an RPG.
No, but it's making fun of Escape from Tarkov, but you play as a rubber ducky. I think it looks cool.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's worth the price of admission then.
I think that's about it. I am trying to finish either Final Fantasy VII Rebirth or A Metaphor: ReFantasio before the end of the month, if possible. We'll see how that goes.
Or playthrough for the Switch 2 version.
Nope, I already bought the... I have a physical copy of 7 Rebirth on PS5, and I have I got the collector's edition of Metaphor on Xbox, and yeah, I mean, I still collect for both systems, I guess, even though both companies kind of suck, and I wish Nintendo would put out more of the normal cartridges instead of the game key cards, but I might end up buying several of those if I...
That's not really their choice.
Right.
I mean, it's their choice in the sense that they made the option to make game key cards, but like once they made that option, their hand.
I mean, yeah, I get it, but the other option was going to be, hey, here is a card that says download required.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true. And I prefer the honest option, so I know what I'm getting.
I do appreciate that I no longer have to wonder, what's on this? And the answer ended up being determined by people who bought it and ported.
Yeah, I had to do that for so many games. It's like, what is this? Like, I remember when Tony Hawk came out on Switch, I initially went to pick my pre-order, saw that sticker, and was like, well, I'm not going to buy this. And then found out later that actually the whole game is on there. It's just a big day one patch. Like, it sucked.
At least the game key cards are clearly labeled. Yeah.
Yes, that's what I like. And
Close to the Indiana Jones and the Great Circle on PS5 and Xbox Series. That was the disc. A key disc.
People are continually annoyed by Nintendo, and it's like, this was happening, and yes, you didn't know it. Like,
You were getting mad at them for being honest.
Yes. I prefer the honesty. I really do. Like, I don't... Yep. Do if game key cards were not an option, like, Capcom is not putting, like, Monster Hunter Stories 3 on a full cart, that would have been a download-required game, and we would have been wondering what the hell we're getting. Like, I'm going to take the honesty every time. And yeah, I think I've already talked about how I bought Indiana Jones on Xbox and did not find out until months later that there was nothing on that fucking disc. It was essentially a game key card.
Yeah.
Again, still the funniest outcome of that circumstance is that the only like actual like game on media for Indiana Jones is the Switch 2 version.
Yeah,
the most fucked up world. It's actually also going to be the same case for Oblivion.
Yeah, I thought that was on the disc.
No, there was like 20 gigs on the disc, and then you had to download 100 more.
It is a gigantic file with those massive 4K textures. Yep.
Jesus Christ.
And it's the same game that it was when it came out. It looks nicer, and there are some slight quality of life improvements. And yeah, I like Oblivion, but I honestly haven't played it in months after.
The horrible Lua scripting wizardry to replace the level up system, which is actually a huge improvement, but people have been doing that with mods for 20 years.
Yeah. The only other thing I can say is I bought Star Wars Jedi Survivor not knowing that, it was a blank disc, but it's also a 150 gigabyte game.
Fun fact, if you buy the PS4 or Xbox One versions, they're on the disc, and I think the PS4... I think the Xbox One, you get a free upgrade. I don't think it is on PS4.
Okay.
But if you are interested in actually owning that game, that is how you do it.
Yeah. So, all right. I'm done yakking. What's Wheels been playing? Witchfire game. This looks neat. It looks like Remnant a little bit.
Well, I just started this, so I will talk about it next week.
Okay.
It's just a game I bought because the devs specifically said they were inspired by Destiny and gameplay wise, like shooty wise, and that is definitely the case, I can tell.
Okay.
But I'm just gonna go from what we were just talking about for a second and just say I don't feel like 4K games have justified their existence.
Yep, they haven't.
I feel like they've made gaming worse. They've made physical media shit. And I'm not happy. I would have preferred if they just made and upgraded what they had and just gone with that instead of dealing with 4K shit that makes games barely look better and makes them cost apparently way too much to make, and it's just, it's ruining everything. I fucking hate it. So now I'll talk about the non-4K games I've been playing.
Okay.
What have I been playing? I have been playing...
My god, what have I been playing?
What have I been playing? I spent all weekend playing a game I can't talk about yet because it's a review game, so... let's let everyone go, and then I can talk. Do Summer of Falcom and talk about the Falcom games I've been playing. Did anyone else not go yet?
Well, Dave, you didn't go yet.
I did not. I've been up and down doing a few different things. Played some weird old PS1 game. Played Lollipop Chainsaw. I played. What was I playing yesterday? Feel like it was something that stuck out as worth talking about, but it's gone now. My brain has cooked, so we'll just leave it at I played some weird old PS1 games and Lollipop Chainsaw. Nothing deep in this podcast wheelhouse.
Okay.
Oh, I did play a little Mouse PI, which was good fun.
Oh, PI, Mouse PI for Hire is really cool. I just wish that it was possible to go back to prior levels. Hope you did everything you wanted.
Oh, I didn't know that was a problem. But yeah, it seems like a fun boomer shooter, which I've been playing lots of those lately. And
yeah, it's got a good atmosphere.
And I didn't realize until I started playing that it was Troy Baker voicing the main character. That's cool.
Yep. I wish he would have talked less on social media. He didn't do anything like cancelable. He was just made kind of an ass.
Oh, that's a shame.
But about yeah, what? Like he does a great. Oh, he was just like yelling about how, like IGN had underrated or some shit. Like it was one of those things. Jesus Christ, man.
No. Yeah, just yeah. No, don't do that. But yeah, I guess we should.
Yeah, it's a cool game.
Yeah.
Summer of Falcom.
Yes, let's do the now, which will, starting from here on out till probably the end of September, our weekly Summer of Falcom check-in, which, if you remember, like two summers ago, I did Summer of Falcom, and it would very much turn into Summer of George, because I finished Trails in the Sky Chapter 1, I think, and
yep.
Just tried to dig through two and just was not happy playing on the Vita, and it kind of ruined the whole thing. So this year I finished second chapter on the stupid Steam Deck. That's done. So we're doing some East 10 Proud Nordics. And yes, I just complained about 4K in games, but I'm mostly playing it on my computer screen and the Switch 2 screen, which are not 4K.
You also do at least get the 120 FPS mode, which has these.
Yeah, I have. I beat that several months ago. I was streaming EastEnd Proud Nordics, the PS5 version, but yeah, I think I had it in the 4K 60 FPS mode just because my capture card can only do 60 FPS anyways. And I figured I would just have the better visuals. But when playing it off stream, I think I did switch to performance mode. And yeah, I like that game for the most part.
I mean, it's Falcom. I don't think they're really making full 4K graphics anyway.
No,
really, it makes much of a difference.
I don't think it needed it. And I was only gonna
say, Falcom games still kind of look like Vita games.
Yeah, they really do.
So I had also gotten, was it, so last year I did get the Trails in the Sky first chapter on Switch 2. And yeah, it's fine. That's what, where I was going with this. It's just the Switch 2 version. It's not always 60 FPS, and there are some...
It's mostly, you know, a turn-based game, man.
Right, and that's it. And, right, yep. And some of the shadows look a bit pixelated here and there, but again, I'm not really complaining, because it's like it's a comparable experience to what you get on like PS5 or Xbox anyways.
But I mean, that's kind of my big complaint with this 4K shit. Like, you could be using all this extra power to just make a game that looks slightly better than like PS4, but runs... Mm-hmm. A million times better. Instead, we're wasting precious resources making this shit that barely looks better.
Yep.
Costs way more to make and makes less money, and it's just okay. I need to go back.
I've seen loons.
Sorry.
I've seen loons that have demanded 8K content, and I don't know what they think is going to work.
They can get
it's
fucked.
Not. It's not going to. Yeah. There is no. You need an 8K TV, and they're not out yet. Yeah.
But anyway, let me talk about East 10 first, and then I'm going to talk about Trails into Zero. I did not play
that game so good.
Third chapter this week yet. I'm going to kind of play those two in parallel because
I was about to get mad at you.
Because I'm just going to tell you, if I do not start playing a Trails game on something other than like Steam Deck, my progress is just going to die. So I have to do both at the same time. There's no other way it's going to happen. But I got through... Well, no, let me do East 10 first. So East 10, I think, is a really interesting game. Because they've kind of stuck with the three-character party system for a while now, which... I like, it's very good, and there's certainly different ways they could expand on that if they so desired. But going to this weird dual character system was a lot more interesting than I expected it to be.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's a whole mechanic where you hold on a button and you're essentially controlling both characters, and there's like some dual moves you can use. And I was kind of overusing that for a bit, which is, I think, kind of normal. Because they introduce it, and then the kind of the dungeon where they introduce it is heavily relies on that. But then once you start messing around, realizing, okay, using the other character's abilities actually does more damage, and there's certain attacks that you have to be controlling a single character to kind of dodge, it creates a very interesting dynamic where you're both switching between two characters to use their different attacks, or maybe attacking an enemy that's weak to attacks from the other character, and then using the dual mode when you need to block attacks, or use a team up attack it's pretty cool. I'm very curious to see how it changes the further you get in the game, but so far it's pretty cool. I don't love the ship combat, but maybe it gets more interesting further you get on.
I liked the ship combat, but yeah.
I mean, it's fine.
It gets better when you get more weapons, I think.
Okay. My worry is it's just going to become like some of the systems in 7, not 7, 8 and 9, that where it's just those essentially tower defense modes, which no one really loved. Certainly not me.
Yeah, and I can tell you that there are some puzzles later in the game where one person is kind of stuck in place, and then the other person has to go and solve a bunch of puzzles, and then those get more intricate. So just, points where you have to control one person, and you have to stand on a switch and then switch to the other character while the door is still open and that sort of thing. So there's some pretty neat puzzle-solving elements that utilize the whole two-character system. Yeah. And I'm always complaining about parrying in games, but for some reason that game, like, I was consistently hitting those perfect dodges, perfect parry type things, so that was pretty
fun. I think they make the timing for those a lot more generous, and
yes,
a lot of, like, we'll say Souls-likes in games like that usually do.
Yeah, so... interesting game with a lot of kind of Viking mythology, but also pulling from other things too, and it's really neat.
Yeah, what's cool about that game too is like East story and lore wise, it's an interesting place in the timeline because it's just after the first two games. So I'm curious to see like what things say reference, or maybe if it will hint at future games, or what sort of story hints they put in there in addition to the whole Viking themed story, which seems very cool. Very fun game so far. As far as Trails into Zero, I kind of finished like the first dungeon in the game where you're introduced to your party members and you're kind of thrown into the typical sewer level that a lot of game RPGs start you with.
Blech.
But it was actually a very fun dungeon. You get to mess around with the characters and play kind of the combat, which is definitely feels like a slightly upgraded combat from the previous Trails games. And it looks very nice. Playing on Switch 1, it looks great, plays great. It's no English voice acting, but that doesn't really bother me. But yeah, it seems like it's going to be a lot of fun. And I'm interested to see where that story goes. Because there's definitely a lot of things that kind of happen right away. I actually really like how that game starts off because it does... Obviously, it's a Trails game. There's a lot of talking at the beginning of the game. But it really kind of sets you off a lot faster than some of those games I played. So, and that's pretty much it for the Summer of Falcom. I've also... will probably be playing some I always forget the name of the 4 remake. Memories of Celceta. I've also been playing the Switch version of that a bit. But nothing.
Play Dawn of East like a real person.
I should, yeah.
I found out that version Memories of Celceta, even though it says that it doesn't work on the Steam Deck, it actually does. It's pretty easy to get that working if you have the Steam Deck.
Happens sometimes, yes.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, the game's just kind of mid.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not the best.
Not the worst. It's just kind of there.
But you shouldn't buy it on Steam. You should buy one of the multiple physical versions available for PS4 or Switch.
Yep.
Yeah. For some reason, multiple versions.
By coincidence, I actually have a Falcom game open right now here.
Ooh, which one?
Oh.
Naruto no Kiseki.
I was hoping you were going to say Azteca. Naruto no Kiseki is good.
Which one is that?
It's Boundless the Trash. One that is...
Action it, RPG.
Oh, that one, yes.
Not connected in any way to any other Kiseki game. It's just... Yeah. I just remember years ago when I was writing on this one for Japandemonium, and I noted that the main character's name basically is the Buddhist term for a really huge, ridiculously large number. It was like, hopefully this does not reflect on the total amount of text.
It does!
And it doesn't. It's actually a fairly concise game.
So. But Naruto no Kiseki might be Trails adjacent, but it's like in a way where it's like so out there that it only matters if you're a huge nerd.
Which I am not yet, but I will probably be by the end.
You are absolutely a huge fucking nerd.
No, I mean Trails nerd, not a huge Trails nerd yet.
Hey. I'll allow it, but only barely.
But yeah, that's about it. As far as Trails, I want to finish at least Zero this year. I'm setting very low goals. And
it was really, really good. But you will want to have finished by the time you get to... By the time you do Azure.
Finish what? Finish Zero?
Finish third.
Oh, before...
Finish third.
Before playing Azure? Okay.
Yeah, there's like a storyline that's set up in second chapter, advanced in third, and resolved like near the end of zero.
Okay.
Do it.
Well, on the show right now, Platy was telling me about a Vita version of 3 that has a fan patch.
So ugh, gross.
I may try and set that up so I don't have to play on the stupid Steam Deck.
The evolution versions are gross looking.
Really? I played the second and third one all the way through.
I find the character portraits to be disgusting.
Yeah. I was going to say that, oddly enough, that's one of the things I'm not liking about Naita over here, is the Switch version has obviously had updated character portrait art that does not necessarily match what the very nice-looking polygonal models look like.
Yeah.
So
I can forgive that more, just because I don't...
Still not quite.
Yeah, that's more forgivable for me, just because I've never seen the original version, so... bother me as much with
no, these character portraits appear on screen with the character models.
No, I know, I'm just saying, like, it doesn't stick out to me as much because I'm looking at just the portrait. Like, I know that they're on screen at the same time, but when there's a conversation, I'm just looking at the portraits.
And I mean, it's really impossible to notice the way it's set up sometimes, like the portraits overlay of the actual screen of action. Yeah. So you can have a face, you can have a side-by-side comparison to realize that between the character model and the portrait, the main villain has had a nose job.
Sometimes you gotta let him get work.
Yeah, and it's not been favorable.
Get some work done.
Yeah, he's getting enough work done. He needs to actually focus on everything else.
Can't believe you're shaming him in this fashion. Rude. Rude is what it is. Okay, we've got questions, don't we?
Yes, we do.
I have a question. Wheels, why are you like this?
Can you be more specific?
Why are you the way that you are?
Why are you like this?
You're only level 20. Oh boy.
Oh, getting shamed.
It's still early in summer.
Yeah, and I guess I got a bunch of like DLC outfits and stuff, and some of them are neat.
Hot. It's gonna be, it'll be 90 tomorrow.
I feel pretty lucky. The high is gonna be like 80 for us
over here.
What about Florida?
We have not.
It's been in the 90s. The Saharan sand blew over and dropped our temperature 2 degrees this weekend.
But, Florida, or as it's better known, the devil's asshole.
Yep.
That should be the episode's name before we get
living there.
That should be the episode's name before we get beaten down by like everyone involved in staffing being like, why the hell did you name it so the devil's ass?
Can we not use a swear in the title?
I always thought that Florida was America's perpetually flaccid penis.
That too.
Nope. I mean,
that would make the Tallahassee area the taint.
No, I was going to say that then California is America's big fat ass, and then Texas is where all the dingleberries end up.
True. Okay, we can extend it a bit farther than that, yeah.
Well, there you go.
So America's ass is bigger, like, ass and taint are bigger than its fucking, like... No, this doesn't make any sense.
No, it makes a lot of sense when you consider how much the country is compensating.
We are currently full of shit, yes.
Y'all don't think that's how that works.
I want to answer the first question.
Conversation sucks. Let's answer a question.
Yeah, what's your personal game of the year so far? And to me, it is just, it's not even a contest. It's Resident Evil Requiem.
Yeah.
Did you say it's really got to be from?
It's from Yangus.
I love that guy. Dragon Quest.
Is that seriously a Platinum 3 alter ego?
No, but I did. You know what? I had a friend put some questions in. I noticed that our the questions were few and far between. I think there was only two posts the entire month of June. So I had a buddy. I was like, hey, just throw some questions in there that we can talk about.
Nice.
Well, that's very sweet.
Yes.
Django.
Yeah, but we all noticed server. When he joined the Discord the other day.
Yeah. Like, blimey. Yeah.
No.
Governor?
Okay. Joe's is RE9.
I'm going to say Pokemon.
Mine is also RE9.
Popia.
Oh.
Yeah, the only options.
That would be my number two, would be Pokapia. Yeah.
I still need to play Pokopia.
Can I pick an early access game to be my current game of the year?
Sure, why not?
Sure, why the fuck not?
Okay, Slay the Spire 2.
Oh, gross. No, you can't. I'm revoking your rights.
You can't pick that.
Well, then, Pragmata.
If something has the word deck builder in it...
No.
Despite being on a game key card, I will give it to Pragmata, because it broke Sony's stupid string of sad dad games.
Oh, thank God. Like, oh, God. But yeah, no, Pragmata is wonderful. Like, if Resident Evil 9 wasn't as good as it is, like, Pragmata would definitely be in my conversation as well.
The ending to that game killed me.
Yeah, I didn't play it yet.
You haven't played it? What?
I haven't played it yet.
You'll have a great time. You should play it.
I know I will.
Capcom having a banger year between, like, Monster Hunter Stories 3, Resident Evil 9, Pragmata, Onimusha. One other thing. Now, it's jumping my brain right now. Oh, yeah. Pragmata 2 Dark Arisen.
Devil May Cry 5 on Switch 2.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I've absolutely devoured that.
It's an absurd port. I don't understand how it works.
It's still, like, it's not, like, you know, it was originally a PS4 game, but it is very fun. Funny that it runs so much better than the PS4 version.
It's absurd.
Like, the PS4 version would sometimes drop to, like, you know, high 40s, low 50s. And, like, normally, like, it's like, whatever. But Devil May Cry is, like, the one time where you don't want it. And the Switch 2 version, if you're playing at 60 FPS mode, will lock to 60 and never drop it at all. And if you're not playing at 60 FPS mode... only thing on the store says is like 60 FPS. It's like, no, it runs at 90.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, wow.
Like, internally, it's running at, like, it can, like, if you let it rip, it runs way faster. Like, the PS5 version ran around 100 frames per second in its 120 FPS mode, and the Switch 2 version, concerningly close at, like, a fairly consistent 90.
That's insane. And it's not like it looks wonderful. Worse or anything.
No, not at all.
It's a gorgeous,
wonderful
game.
Version of a wonderful game.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I mentioned I got the special edition on the Series X thinking it would be better. And first off, my save file didn't carry over from the regular Xbox One version.
Love it.
And then when you turn on ray tracing, you get lower frame rate. And I'm telling you, like, in an early level, when you're walking past a shop window, you can see your reflection, and that's about it. And you can see your reflection in puddles. That's all right.
Yeah, there's very
in that game.
Yeah, there's very few reflective surfaces and very few, like, actual light sources in the game. So ray tracing does sufficiently little for that game.
Right. I'd rather
other than giving you the privilege of other than giving you the privilege of occasionally getting frame rate drops. Yeah, no, like DMC5 is disqualified by dint of being a game from like 7 years ago. It's a really fucking good game. Like, if you weren't interested in disqualifying a game from 7 years ago, it would actually be a game of the year contender.
My runner-up would be the Star Fox remake.
So that's a wonderful game.
Yeah, that might be my number three then. Okay.
And I feel like I have not played it at all, even a demo in a store, I feel like Splatoon Raiders is probably going to be
high
up on my list when that comes
out.
Like, the thing that sucks is I'm going to have to buy that because it's a 4-player co-op game and we're inevitably going to shenanigans.
Yes.
Nice.
Fucking yes.
Exactly. Don't.
I should order that from Amazon, not Amazon, but some, like, either Amazon or Walmart. Because the physical version is cheaper right now.
I don't know how this happened, but okay, so so in question D, I have my eye on Splatoon Raiders. I have it pre-ordered. Somehow Amazon is only going to charge me $40 for it. I don't know how I pulled
it. If you pre-order it, they give you it for the price that it would normally only go for digitally.
Right. But that would be 50, I think.
No, it's 50. It's 50 base price.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So I'm getting it for 40 somehow, maybe because I'm currently a Prime member, but I just hope they don't retract it when my
membership ends in 4 days. No, that's once you place the order, that's when it makes the price.
Okay. So
the Splatoon Raider.
Hashtag Scamazon.
Actually, 40 is a weirdly low price. We're right.
Yeah, so I don't know what I did.
Don't complain. Don't ask anyone about it. Just accept it.
And cancel that pre-order.
Yes. Whereas I'm getting my copy for the price of a small stack of PS5 games.
No price at all.
Exactly.
And I'm going to get... what was it? What was that game that
Phantom
I'm going to get
Brave,
from you?
Whatever the sequel is named.
Yeah.
For PS5.
I forgot there was a sequel.
I forgot that it existed, and then he showed me a picture of his stack of PS5 games, and I'm like, I want that one.
Yes,
so
I bought the sequel for like $15 when it was on clearance from GameStop, because I heard...
As it came out and immediately ate shit.
Yeah.
Oh, that's... Oh, I don't know. It came out a while ago.
I like the demo. I don't know what to tell you.
No, I'm not saying it's bad.
It
I'm saying
sell.
That, like...
Right.
As someone who, like, likes the original Phantom Brave, like, that was one of those things where it's like, as someone who likes it, I would never have advised anyone to consider investing in a sequel because it was never going to sell.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's been way too long.
Not even just that. Like, Phantom Brave was, like, a game that hardcore grognards love because it's, like, this weird, it's a really weird system. That requires a really specific approach because nothing else plays like it. But that means that, like, anyone who remembers it, there's like two people. Like, it's the kind of person who's like, yeah, that was really interesting. And the kind of person who's like, fuck that game. And no amount of re-releasing it on the Wii or the PSP version. Remember the Bermuda Triangle? No, you don't.
I had the Wii.
But yeah. No amount of re-releasing it ever changed.
Well, I bought it on Wii just on a whim because I'm like, oh, Nipponichi. And I expected it to be exactly like Disgaea, and it was a little different. Not... But I liked what I played. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good game. They briefly experimented with this idea because Makai Kingdom, the even less loved marriage of Phantom Brave Disgaea in terms of like tone was like you know that was briefly like they were experimenting with this gridless system, and then evidently no one like their audience didn't like it because they went back to doing the grid based, and they never did that again.
Wasn't there one Disgaea game where they were going through alternate worlds and they came across what was supposed to be the sequel to Phantom Brave? And they realized what it was, and then they promptly destroyed the universe.
That would have to be
5. Yeah.
Are you thinking?
No, yeah, that's how this one recurring secondary character just came into Disgaea lore because she was supposed to be the protagonist of that game.
Asagi, those are different things.
Okay.
Oh, those are different
Asagi
things.
Yeah, Asagi was supposed to have her own game, and then that game got canceled, and so the joke became that she just wanders from game to game trying to take them over so she can have.
I just thought I remember that the justification for in game for destroying her game universe was because it was supposed to be the sequel to this one game that Sid did so terrible that even the characters of Disgaea knew exactly how awful it was going to be, and so they just ended it.
Maybe.
Damn.
That's wild.
Yeah, I'd have to dig back through.
And I'm just going to say again, God damn it, I want a Disgaea game with Asagi as the protagonist and Desko as the final boss.
That sounds so horrible. Prinny 2 had Asagi as the main character.
Did it?
God.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then you have to.
Unfortunately.
With Prinny 2. How do you feel about going into your local video game store in 2010 and saying, yes, I would like to purchase Prinny 2, the Dawn of Operation Panties?
I didn't buy that one.
Yes, I want the special edition, the one with the panties in it.
Yeah, I was going to say, doesn't it have panties in one of the special editions?
Yeah, so she was supposed to be the main character of Makai Wars, which was the sequel to Makai Kingdom, which was translated as Phantom Brave, I think.
No, Makai Kingdom is a different game where you play as a weird bookman. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But it does. It is the one that plays. It is the other one that plays like Phantom Brave in terms of having a gridless.
Yeah. Oh, okay, that's where I'm getting this from. Okay. Anyway, I also remember for the original Prinny, I actually made up a parody of A Visit from St. Nicholas for that game, because it was part of the First Japandemonium column of January the next year, and I was really bored that Christmas.
You know what? I respect.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
It actually turned out really well. It's just kind of ridiculous.
Yeah. Hey, more people, go play Phantom Brave. It's got a nice story and it's pretty neat.
And then if you feel like you need more of that, probably pick up Phantom Brave. I don't know. I didn't hear much about it, but I assume it's pretty easy.
I've heard good things. The reason I had the PS5 version was I heard the Switch performance wasn't always great. But I don't care about that anymore, so Joe can have the PS5 copy.
Okay. Well, guess what? You'll probably be fine by putting it in Switch 2 and running handheld boost.
Most likely. And even if I wouldn't, I don't care. I'm not playing.
That's a thing now. I forgot about that.
Very nice. I forget about it because I always have it on. That's just like, oh, everything looks beautiful and run. Well, hooray.
Turn it on. Hold on.
You just go into the settings. It's got its own, like, handheld behavior thing or something. You can't.
Display?
No, it's got its own dedicated thing.
Why don't you read the next question and then you can go look for it.
What's a game you regret having played so far this year? I tried to play Super Meat Boy 3D and it was very stupid.
I can definitively say it was Adventure Academia. But
oh yeah.
Okay, hold on. You got to go under System, Nintendo Switch Software Handling, and turn on Handheld Mode Boost.
Yeah.
Well, you go and do that. I'm going to talk about how bad Nelki and the Legendary Alchemist of the New World was.
Oh, boy.
Ugh. I regret putting time into that for our Atelier April backtrack.
Yeah, I don't really recommend Nelki. It has its interesting points, but unless you are a big fan of the series and can recognize the name of almost every character in it, you're probably not going to get full.
Yeah, value, I mean, so. I, at this point, I think I've done about half the series, but I mean, they're pulling in like, I was like, oh, that's that character in the game that I never even really did anything with. So it was getting...
Here are these characters from the only Japan games. Yes.
Yeah, oh, yeah. No, I was just blazing through dialogue. Ooh. I was like, I don't need to hear this. Yeah. I don't care. Because it's just nonsense.
Honestly, I would have liked if they'd actually included the DS characters as well and maybe done something better with the go out and adventure section. I actually liked a lot of the town organization stuff.
Uh-huh. Yeah, no, that was
optimizing.
Good.
It's just the like stroll through the adventure zones on rails.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I eventually lost. I lost the game.
Oh, really?
I was two turns away, maybe one turn away. It was the second to last task. I had to get, I don't know, 50,000 people, I think, or make some. One of the challenges, it was the second to last, because I went back and read later that there was, you know, X amount of chapters, and I was on X minus one and lost by a day or two. You had 30 days to do this, or 30 turns to do this, and there was, you know, it was population. And I knew from the very beginning of that chapter I was going to lose, because apparently I didn't do something two chapters before that would have gotten me population boosts. So,
and I can't even tell you what that was, because I just apparently did it normally.
It was just side quests, and, you know, yeah. Had I done a couple side quests earlier in previous chapters, I would have been fine to keep going, but, like, I was getting 850 new residents a day, and then the next day would be, like, 875, the next one would be, like, 900, and I'm like, oh, I'm not gonna hit that 50,000, like, it's guaranteed. Unless something goes from linear to...
The math does not work here.
Nope. Yeah, and I mean, it's graphing it for me. Every turn here I'm looking, I'm like, yeah, that's not going to hit. 30 days away. That's grim. So, yeah, it stunk that, like, I know this, and I can't even go back one chapter, because it won't even... I can't start this chapter over, it won't do anything. Oh, so... I was like, alright, I'm not playing this whole game over. I played enough to talk about it on Backtrack. I played enough to bash it here. Good enough for me.
Sounds like more than enough.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, that sounds awful.
A dozen hour. Wrote it down somewhere. Let's see. Yeah, I only played a dozen hours. Yeah, I lost on the 9th of 10 goals. That's my regret. Wheels, you regret playing anything?
I regret playing Soros because it meant I gave Sony money.
Was it any good?
It's extraordinarily good.
I heard that it was, like, I struggle with Returnal. I thought it was way too hard, and I heard that Soros is much easier. Or that there's modifiers or something.
Yeah, there's modifiers, which I think some players the first game complained about because they're weirdos.
Yeah.
But it's really pretty. But I will not recommend anyone play it because fuck Sony. Because they also killed my favorite game.
So, which is?
Destiny 2.
Destiny.
Oh, that's right.
You
had to ask?
Sorry. I forgot that they acquired them and then shut them down and then did all that shit.
They didn't shut them down.
Whatever.
Bungie destroyed itself.
Yeah, okay.
By all accounts, the game has been unprofitable most of its life, so.
Impressive, because it's had a very long.
Yeah, and apparently when it was profitable, they funneled the money into garbage.
Like, can borrowed for the CEO.
Which is funny, because I went back and I was, while on vacation, I was reading... Jason Schreier's book. I forget the title of the book, but one of the chapters is about the development of Destiny, and talks a lot about the breakaway from Microsoft and how incredibly dysfunctional they were after that happened. And a lot of what I read there really resonated, where it's like, oh, this company has been poisoned since they left Microsoft.
Oh, jeez.
Pretty much. Yeah, it was that bad. And a lot of the talent that helped, like, get Destiny 1 going was gone by the time the time the Taken King came out. And also the writer of Taken King was gone, like, shortly after it came out. So, like, I have to be thankful that I got as much Destiny as I did, and they finished the main story. It's kind of amazing that it went that far, based on everything I've read. So yeah, I'm trying to think of, like, an actual bad game I've played and regretted. I played this game called Wild Bastards. It's a little indie first-person shooter slash tactics game. It's maybe roguelike too, and just did not like it at all. The shooting was kind of bad, and like the tactics part wasn't very good. But that same company made a game before it called Void Bastards, which is like a roguelike first-person shooter. We go like from spaceship to spaceship, which is pretty fun. So check that one out instead. I don't know. Who else had played bad games?
I don't see what else I have on my Steam.
I play bad games all the time.
What else is on my Steam?
You have no regrets.
You can't make me regret these things.
Okay, so want to go to the next one?
Sure.
What's a great game you regret not having played this year so far? So I just added in Pragmata. You're welcome.
Yay.
One, and you know, here's another yay from Wheels. I want to play Monster Hunter Stories 3.
It's very good. It's very good, and it fixes a lot of the problems I had with 1 and 2. Specifically with the combat, where it's there's not enough meat on the bone, I would say.
So this one got a little bit better, more meaty?
Much, much meatier. Like, the whole premise starting from 1 was like, it's got this rock, paper, scissors system. Like,
yeah,
call it power attack, fast, quick attack, technical attack. And the first game relied on it way too much. Like, yeah, you had some special attacks you can occasionally use, but mostly you're just using regular attacks and trying to pick the right one. It was fine. It's a fun little game. And the second one improved that a bit because you've got more control over your own monster, and also you have a party member with you. But 3, like, it's still there, and it's still important, but it is not, like, the most important thing by a long shot.
Nice.
Like, there are battles where I didn't even have to think about it at all. I was just using, like, I have to use these skills and these skills. And also, they finally made they made mechanics where the weapons function like they do in main Monster Hunter, which I think is really cool. Like if you're using like a gun lance, which has there's different things you can do with the shells. If you're using a bow, you like charge up power and then you can use a super attack. It's been a bit, I forget what some of the other weapons are, but there's so much more to the combat than there was in the first two games. And also not being so close to 3DS game now, like, I mean, obviously 2 came out on Switch first, but you cannot convince me that that didn't start from the bones of a 3DS game, because it sure felt like it. The world, the exploration is a lot cooler and a lot more 3D. There's a lot more monsters. It's just a much, much better game. The only complaint about it I have is there's like not really any end game once you beat it, which is a shame. Because I would love a reason to like go and get more monsters and like track down these the extra bosses in the world, but it doesn't really feel that necessary. But they are releasing DLC at some point, so maybe it will.
Nice. Yeah,
people should check it out.
That'll probably be something I pick up next year when it hits like that 50% or maybe 40% off.
Smart.
I'm booked up for this year.
Maybe they'll bundle it with the DLC by then, if it's not free.
That's a lot of something I try to wait for. That's why I waited for the Monster Train 2. Give that DLC some time to come out and grab that. But no, that'll be something I definitely want to do. I played the first two. Loved the first two.
Well, if you already love the first two, then you will definitely love 3. I don't have to try and sell you on it.
No, you don't need to sell me. Okay. I do know that's going to be the second one I bounced off a little first. I actually took like a full year off and came back to it because we're going to do it on Backtrack. And then when I started playing, I'm like, I restarted. 8 hours in, I just was like, I gotta restart. I don't even remember what's going on here. And loved it. Like, blazed through 40 hours in a couple weeks. Like, oh. I don't know. Maybe Kate, the second one might have come out at a time that something more interesting was coming out. And who knows? But this is one. Yes, I will give it time. And
yeah. I think the battles enjoy. Get a little slow, and too. That can make it hard to get into.
I think it was also, there were times where you didn't have a partner.
Yeah.
I think they weren't super long, but I was so used to it by then, it was like, ugh. And that made it, I think, it made it drag, and I'm like, where's my other, somebody, some partner. Because I know partners came and went in that game.
Yeah.
It was like part of it. It was like every region you went to, you had a different partner, and yeah, there was a couple times where you just didn't, and I mean, it wasn't for long, but I think I felt those dragged.
Definitely. What was the question again? Should we just move on to the next question?
Might as well move on.
It was a game you regret not having played. What upcoming 2026 release do you have? Do you most have your eyes on? So I had two answers. I said Splatoon Raiders and Disgaea Mayhem. So I have pre-orders on both. Mm-hmm. Disgaea Mayhem, I downloaded the demo on Steam. Have not played it yet, but I guess it's supposed to be more of like a Musou type game. An action RPG, so it looks neat.
I played the Japanese version. I can tell you a little bit about it.
Sure.
So, imagine kind of the basic setup of a Disgaea game, except the battles are like Musou fights.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the basic premise of the game. And the combat's pretty fun. The weapons play pretty differently. But kind of one of the big systems of the game is you get befriend monsters. And there's not really a system behind it. You kind of just get them randomly. As far as I can tell, anyway. But then you can bring them along in battle and they magic change into a weapon. So you can kind of have two different weapon types. Or I guess the same weapon if you really wanted. In battle.
Sorry, my connection just dropped for a second. Okay.
And there's also an item world.
Oh.
That's just endless, not endless battles, but just lots of battles. So it's almost like Disgaea Light, I guess, would be a good way to describe it.
Yeah.
You'll probably like it.
Well, it's Disgaea, so I was always going to get it.
Yeah.
And if I don't know, if I get it before the end of the month, which I might, depending on how fast it ships, even then, though, I think I already committed to do Kingdom Hearts for the month. But I don't know, maybe I'll start streaming it next month or something. We'll see.
You should also see how RP Gamer's review rates it.
Yeah, that'd be a good idea.
Maybe someone on this call is going to review it. Who knows?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. You never know.
I also, Splatoon Raiders right now for me is the game I'm waiting for. Other than obviously Ocarina of Time remake.
Is that coming up by the end of the year?
They said it's 2026.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Cool. Look at that for Christmas. Yeah. I'll buy it for myself for Christmas.
There you go.
Oh, and Dragon Quest Monsters.
Yeah, because my mom...
I can't forget that while Platy's here.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's one of my two games that I'm waiting on. With the brides from Dragon Quest V.
Yeah, that looks cool.
Just a little bit of lore here, though. Yeah, I'm 40 years old. My parents do still get me some Christmas gifts. I get them gifts, too. But for the past several years... My mom has said flat out, you're not getting video games for Christmas anymore. And I'm like, okay. So I have to buy myself Ocarina of Time. I had to buy myself Metroid Prime 4. I'm not really, not really complaining too much.
Merry gaming Christmas.
There is one other game I'm looking forward to. It was announced. I mean, I've been following it for like 8 years. It's called Witchbrook. Basically,
sounds familiar.
Somebody looked at Stardew Valley and said, "What if we mix that with Harry Potter?" And made a, you know, witch's school.
Chucklefish. I know them.
Yes, it is a Chucklefish published game. They may be developing it too. But oh my gosh, I've had something like 8 years worth of Google notifications for this. And it finally dropped last year in one of the Nintendo Directs. Like, here we go. Like, totally caught me by surprise. I'm like, oh my god, it's actually coming out. And then, of course, you know, it was supposed to be last year and then delayed. And they've said absolutely no date this year. So hopefully a year later, after all these years, finally get it. But
yeah, I'm going to say my first experience with Chucklefish was buying Starbound in early access, and it took several years to be fully released. But they also published Time Spinner, which is supposed to get a sequel at some point. So we're not doing the Metroidvania minute anymore, but Time Spinner is a Metroidvania you should definitely look into if you haven't played it. Yep. All right. And they also published Eastward, Wargroove 2. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. They got some neat stuff.
Eastward was good.
Catalog.
Hmm.
Wanderlust.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. What other answers do we have? Gaijin, what are you looking forward to in 2026?
Well, there's another Atelier game coming out soon. Oh, or actually, maybe that's 2027.
It's early next year. Yep.
Yep.
I got yelled at for putting my name on the request list for that one. They're like, wait, come on, you can't just request games for next year.
Yeah.
You can't?
I'm not necessarily the best person to be asking this question just because my news, it tends to be all over the place and sales are different times. Honestly, I don't know. It is whatever it is. I mean, there are games I'm hoping appear on the horizon at some point. And, but yeah, it's basically whatever I randomly get. So, sorry if that's probably not the best answer.
We have someone in chat. I almost missed it. Tuber666.
Which one?
That's the name of the person in the chat. Anyone excited about new Fire Emblem? Hell yes. I almost forgot about that game.
I pre-ordered this special edition for $120 and then canceled it because I decided that was too expensive. And now the pre-orders are sold out. But it's going to be an $80 game. For an extra $40, you get a steelbook and a couple other little things. And ultimately, I was like, I'll just wait for a sale on that one. But I am excited about it. I just don't want to pay $80.
Waiting for a sale on a Nintendo game?
Oh, yeah. You know what? No. I just realized. I have just thought about my statement after speaking it out loud. Yes, that is ridiculous. You're right to chastise me.
Let me just wait for Mario Kart World to go on sale for $20.
Yeah, that'll never happen.
Bookmark that. There you go.
Did Dave have any game? Did we lose Dave?
Did we lose him? Is he still here? Fanboy, what's your answer? He's gone.
Maybe I'd step away.
He's not here.
Oh, okay. All right, next question.
Next question. Something about Koei Tecmo. I don't care about them.
Just read it.
Koei Tecmo announced that they've expanded their workforce from 2,500 to 3,000 employees, well on their way to the target of 5,000. Are there any other game studios actively recruiting or hiring?
Oh, boy, not that I'm aware of. Jeez, it's like
I'm pretty sure there are, just not in the U.S.
Okay.
Does anyone remember way back in the PS3 days where everyone was insulting Japanese studios because they couldn't seem to get their shit together? Boy, have times changed.
Wow.
And yet not changed so much, because a lot of that was just guff from BS? The American, yeah, like projection much.
Dave said he will be back later.
Okay, but yeah, it was definitely BS, and considering a lot of Western games in that area were kind of shit. But I mean, yeah, I made this statement at when there was lots of awful layoff news. It's like these companies can't seem to get their shit together. Meanwhile, Capcom is releasing like 3 Game of the Year contenders every year.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And on time, on budget. Maybe they don't look the most 4K, and maybe that's the fucking point.
Oh, that might go into the next question I see here, too.
But the RE engine is just very well optimized.
Yes, it is. And maybe too many people are using Unreal, which gets worse and worse as time goes on.
It really does.
Mm-hmm.
I remember my first time seeing texture pop in like in early games, like in PS3 and the Xbox 360 games. I remember I'm like, what is with this texture popping? What even is this? And my friend was like, oh, it's Unreal Engine. I'm like, okay, sure. I think Uncharted used Unreal Engine. I know Gears of War did.
Nope, Uncharted uses Naughty Dog's internal technology.
Okay, never mind. But I think there were a few games where I saw texture popping for the first time, and somebody pointed out that I was like, "Oh no, that's Unreal Engine." Actually, maybe it was Unreal Tournament 3 on PS3, and then maybe it was also Gears of War on Xbox. Okay. Also, following up on... hang on, Dave's back. Do you want to tell us what your most anticipated game of 2026 is?
I think I'm going to stick on at this point. Maybe Onimusha. Do a Dark Horse candidate.
It does look cool.
Okay.
All right. What's the next question after Koei Tecmo?
Also, following up on Koei Tecmo's steady expansion, we're seeing a lot of reports, like the recent Unity Dev report, indicating that many mid-sized studios are actively shifting focus towards smaller, highly polished, episodic, or lower-priced games to avoid risk. I wasn't aware of that happening. Do you think this structural shift is going to result in better, more creative RPGs, or will we miss the scale of massive, sprawling epics? I don't know.
We got companies
on a much lower budget for.
Most of the massive crawling RPGs I've played are deeply boring.
Uh-huh.
Well, what I was going to say was companies that are making that shift are not really the ones known for their massive sprawling games. Like, if you're working with lower budgets, you don't make... if you're looking at those smaller companies, they weren't making bigger games. They were making... But, like, failing to try to chase that dragon is probably for the best, honestly.
Yeah.
Like,
it sounds like AA stuff that is doing okay.
Yeah.
In general, like, a lot of companies would be better served by pouring all of their money into one or two make-or-break titles. Consider that a win.
Okay.
Yeah, I would like lower priced, more polished, smaller games.
The games will not be cheaper, but they will be cheaper to produce.
Give me more remnants. No.
Hey, listen, if that means that they don't need to fire people and die because of one bad game, I'm all for it.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah, I'm just when I was just kind of revisiting some PS3 games, like, there were a lot of weird and short but cheap games, and they weren't always good, but they were memorable in different ways. I've talked about Savage Moon is a really cool tower defense that I think was a $15 or $20 game, so we don't have those as much as we used to. The big publishers used to put out these smaller, cheaper games on those consoles. The Last Guy was a weird game that used, like, Google Maps to create levels, and, yeah, so I don't know. I think we need a balance. You know, I like the big AAA sprawling epic games, but
I think they should die.
But then I like to play several.
I'm right there with you, Wheels.
You know, so when I finish like a big long JRPG, then I want to kind of take a break with like a shorter action game. That's all I'm
saying.
Yeah,
I mean, but the big JRPGs aren't costing like whatever the next Fallout will cost, or however much money has been burnt on the next Elder Scrolls.
Yeah. Like, and Starfield was garbage, let me tell you.
Like, it's just and not to mention Sony's big sprawling games have all been the same game over and over again.
Dad game.
Sad dad. Or sad samurai. Just and then Astrobot randomly in there. I don't understand.
But that's
how
what
that
I mean.
Happened.
Astrobot was one of those shorter, like, it was very polished. But I mean, that was a $60 game, not $70, and that was a short little action game that I enjoyed playing, and I even got 100% and got the platinum.
That one game of the year, unlike anything else they've released.
So yeah, so I guess to your point, yes, Astrobot was flipping amazing, and I wish there were more of games like that. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, this is going to be my theme probably for months about how 4K gaming is ruining everything. Like, make more of those. Like, these big giant games are not just not doing it. Like, I'll never forget the quote about, did anyone notice the changes in Spider-Man 2 that cost so much money? And the answer is no. Fucking no. If they had just reused the same tech as the first Spider-Man game and just, you know, but only made it a PS5 exclusive, would anyone have noticed? I don't think so. And it would have made so much more money as well.
And
like,
to
what
your
are
point,
we doing?
I think a lot of people are just playing in performance mode anyways, because I'd rather have higher frame rate, you know? So when you switch to the quality mode, you're getting 30 FPS, and then you're getting maybe slightly better shadows, slightly better particle effects, but like, who cares? Like, it's too choppy.
I don't know if they're just like, we have to do this to justify the existence of these newer expensive consoles. But I don't think they actually do.
No.
I remember, for so long, there were so few PS5 and Xbox Series X exclusives. It was a joke.
Well, I also, I wish that more games had the balanced setting where you could get 40 FPS at 120 hertz. That was a good compromise. But that's still not rendering at 4K anyway. So again, to your point, yeah. Like,
I think if we want to push the power of these consoles, all your games should be running at 120 frames per second. And if they don't, you should be cutting out these useless fucking graphical features that add nothing to the game. Like, look at Metroid Prime 4. And
The CEOs don't play the games.
Yeah, fuck them. Just look at Metroid Prime 4, a game that runs at 60 frames per second on Switch 1 and on Switch 2. Mm-hmm. Running at 100 frames per second looks absolutely gorgeous. And honestly, I will take that over anything that can only run PS5.
Yeah, let me just interject real quick. I did turn on that feature on the Switch 2. So while we've been talking, I've just been loading up different Switch 1 games, and it's like, as a matter of fact, I just loaded up Metroid Prime Remastered, and I'm like, this looks gorgeous in handheld. I mean, it always looked good. But I'm just saying, like, I don't know if this was a title that was affected by that feature, but it's like, this looks so good, and the frame rate is so smooth right now. I'm like, holy crap. This is awesome. The Switch 2 is a freaking awesome console.
Yes, it is. Okay, let's move on to the questions before I
Yeah, so Fireminer couldn't make it today, I guess, and he hasn't been in the chat, but...
He left some stuff in the Discord channel.
Yes, so...
We got it in the show notes, Mr. Yes. Baker.
I know, I'm in the show notes, and we've got a very long question. All right, I'll read it. Did the failed Xbox brand Pivotal come down to not just the Microsoft-owned studios produced so little, but also that Microsoft had already thrown away the gains they made with PC gaming before? The Microsoft branded keyboard, mouse, and Sidewinder controllers had good reputation for being capable and affordable. Halo 1 was very popular on PC, and even the botched Vista port of Halo 2 had a substantial player base. Games for Windows Live pioneered some good ideas like crossplay, but Microsoft wasted those gains and let Steam and other companies take over the bandwidth. There is no sense of continuity or long-term strategy of executives knowing what their predecessors had raised and built their own success upon it.
Fireminer, what you have just described is the history of Microsoft in a nutshell.
I was going to say, is this a question? Or is, like, I think you answered your question.
So I'm going to take this at two directions. The first is, like, yes, Microsoft's unwillingness to stay committed to a strategy because they are busy trying to find ways to right the ship and fix it now. Means that every 2 to 3 years there's a big, like, change up on what their strategy is, which, like, you know, rocks everyone and changes everything, and then, yeah. Like, the inconsistent, like, the unwillingness to stick to a strategy long enough for it to bear any kind of fruit is going to do that. Like, what I'll also say is, like, especially with Games for Windows Live, that came out too late for it to matter. Games for Windows Live was never going to, like, was able to lure in, like, companies that didn't make a lot of PC games at the time, typically Japanese ones. That was basically all it could pull in. Like, Western companies didn't really feel like dealing with it. Players hated it because, you know, like, why would I pay a subscription to play online on PC? That was just not done. There was no desire or impetus for that. Games for Windows Live was kind of a dead letter from the moment it was. Especially because Steam had already started to take hold. And, you know, trying to, like, that was, if Games for Windows Live had been managed better, it might theoretically, or Games for Windows in general had been managed better, it might have been able to stop that from calcifying into the Steam monopoly we have now. But, you know, like, the other problems that not made that a dead letter. But, like, yeah, also, like...
I was hearing about this attempted lawsuit, monopoly lawsuit against Steam, because it apparently controls, like, 85% of the downloadable game market on PC. Yeah, and, right. And there was a deep dive read about the difference between an actionable monopoly where you can actually sue them for unfair business practices and a natural monopoly where it just happens because the product is just better than everyone else's available and nobody else wants to buy the other stuff. And
there's things you could probably reasonably say that, like, I could probably make a fair few arguments for things that Valve has done that are anti-competitive,
but not to a degree that even, like, I mean, like, even compared to some of the stuff Epic has done to try and gain back market share, it's been reasonably mostly just here's the product. Oh, here's Steam, and it works. And that has been most of the argument so far.
There's some stuff there, especially stuff that's currently on the horizon that I think, like, if it ever gains noticeable market share, it will actually turn into something very bad and very ugly. Like, if SteamOS ever attains a meaningful amount of market share, it will become a
problem.
Yeah.
Because Valve will have essentially total vertical integration, like, what you can play and how you can play it. Yeah.
The situation as it is now and leading up to now hasn't been as... It could get much worse.
I could make an argument that that some of the other things they've done are anti-competitive. It's not worth the time at the moment, and I'm too tired for it. But, like, There's some, but yeah, honestly, what you run into is that, like, the things that made games for Windows attractive to certain publishers, especially Japanese ones, where there was an immense distrust of the PC market because of the ways that the product could be interacted with and the concerns over piracy, the things that made it attractive to those publishers are also the reasons it could never have succeeded. Like, if, like, there would have needed to have been essentially a critical mass of publishers that just refused to work with Steam for Games for Windows to have ever happened. And ultimately, like, especially because what ended up happening for a lot of those companies was that they sold their Games for Windows games through Steam, which made Games for Windows just a layer that people had to deal with. So, like, yeah, just to go at that vector, but, like, ultimately, I don't think really was, like, a strong enough initiative to build, like, Sidewinder, those things that are, like, yeah, Microsoft made the occasional decent piece of hardware, but not, like, you know, no one's loyal to, like, any given third-party controller manufacturer other than, like, actually, nope, can't think of any. The closest they came, to having a strategy that worked for any particular length of time was honestly, like, the original Xbox into 360 era. And a lot of that came down to just that they had plan of attack. And that plan of attack was ultimately kind of a doomed one, because that plan of attack was do what Sony does and hope that Sony fucks up. But then Sony fucked up really bad. Like, and so for a brief period, that was going to, like, that could work. And then, you know, they pissed it down their leg. But, you know, like, I think that ultimately that was the only time they had, like, what felt like a long-term strategy. You look at some of those, the original Xbox is actually really fascinating because you can see in its first year, if you look at its early games, that Microsoft does not know how many people will ever actually purchase an Xbox or how many publishers will support it. Because in their launch window and first year, they have one of everything that they are making or publishing, and all of those games go away after it becomes clear that third parties will support them. Because, like, there's a period where they have, like, five different platformers that they have in some stage of publishing between Blinks, Voodoo Vince, Psychonauts, Torque, Prehistoric Punk, and Malice, all of which were set to be published by Microsoft at one point or another. And, like, all of which, other than Blinks and Voodoo Vince, ended up published by someone else. You had the period where they had their entire sports lineup. Remember NFL Fever? No, you do not. Like, they had their own, like, snowboarding game and, like, skateboarding games and all sorts of, like, they just had their own one of everything because they just had no idea if anyone was going to support it. And, like, that's probably the period where they seemed like they had the most coherent strategy. Like, the Xbox in the era of, like Ed Freeze and Seamus Blackley. There's a reasonably coherent strategy around the 360 that is buttressed by having, like, normal ass hardware instead of, like, a mutant.
That's right.
And that.
Never mind.
But yeah, like, I don't think that there was that all of these were I think that ultimately what happens is a lot of these, like, you know, people. Ultimately what ends up happening is, like, the thing that causes the 360 to fully collapse is just the chasing of trends. Like, ultimately that's what ends up killing essentially all of these initiatives, is trend chasing. Mm-hmm. And you run it, you chase a bad trend and things go, like, you look at, like, they jump on, we're going to try to do motion controls, we're going to do it with the camera, and then, like, the Kinect is popular for, like, 18 months among casual consumers, and then it's over. We're going to try to chase multimedia, and we're going to use the Xbox to do it, completely shatters the Xbox One as a prospect. We're going to try to chase the Netflix model, informs and obliterates the Xbox from the end of the Xbox One era to the current year, when Game Pass becomes the thing, because their entire marketplace idea is predicated on the notion that eventually they have to reach 100 million subscribers, and they run into the hard limit of there's only so many people who buy it.
So you're saying they can't reach 100 billion active users? Or 1 billion?
It turns out, no. No billion daily users.
You know what the funny thing about that was? I was reading some other random thing about Microsoft talking about the number of Microsoft 365 users there are.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
500 million.
Yep. That is a wildly successful product.
But just
the
idea that they could get double that on the Xbox is absurd.
One of the most laughable things, probably meant to be a pie in the sky projection, but, like, genuinely just ridiculous. It's just, like, you know, they keep, what's succeeding right this moment? How do we fold that into our strategy? And it's like, well, you don't have a strategy. Just keep doing that. And, like, you know, the longest they committed to core strategy ultimately ended up being the most destructive one, the Game Pass one, because it meant that they, like, the studio buying spree only made sense in the context of the existence of Game Pass. That is the only way that that idea ever made sense.
Mm-hmm.
Like, get everything in-house so we never have to negotiate with anyone again for whether we can put something on Game Pass. We want as many things to always be available on Game Pass. Kind of a return to that original, you don't know how many people will party to this, so we just won't, so we'll have to make everything ourselves. Kind of ends up coming back, but this time they buy, like, 90 studios to make it happen. It, like, ultimately, eventually, they, you know, the Activision Blizzard buyout is so expensive that it draws the eye of Sauron, the company, onto the Xbox division. And, like, suddenly someone's looking at this and, like, you spent $70 billion and we are still in third place.
I think, to me, the surest sign that Game Pass had failed was when, I think it was Starfield came out, and, like, more people bought an actual copy than played it on Game Pass.
It really was, like, not a game that, like hardcore fans expect to be playing this for months. They're not gonna get a subscription to play that. Like, they figured they'll buy that and then they'll just play it whenever. Like, the more something is a forever game, the less it makes sense that the subscription target. Mm-hmm. Like, if it's a forever game, like, well, just buy it and just play it forever instead of paying you $15 a month in perpetuity. That doesn't make any sense.
Right. When they upped Game Pass Ultimate to $30 a month, I'm like, well, wait a second. Like, Doom Dark Ages went on sale for $35. I'm like, okay. And then Oblivion Remastered went on sale for $30. And it's like, well, wait a second. I can just buy one game a month for that same price and then own it. Wow. You know, who would have thought?
Yeah. Like, and you end up with all sorts of problems that, like, Game Pass could never really address, because, like, its truest version was them believing that there would one day be, like, a cloud experience that was functionally equivalent. They wanted Like, they didn't want Stadia to succeed, but they wanted Stadia to be because, like, ultimately, the notion of, like, just playing a bunch of AAA games on subscription just doesn't make a goddamn sense, because you to download them, and they're all enormous. Like, the Netflix model partly works because you're never more than 3 seconds away from watching whatever. Like, if it's going to take me 2 hours to play something, like, suddenly playing something is a schedule commitment. Like, and so, like, the instant gratification, like, the only way the instant gratification idea works is if they suddenly make cloud happen. Like, that just, like, we've watched that crash and burn at Google. Like, they always brought up that, like, oh, Xbox Cloud, and it's like, that was the thing that had to happen to make Game Pass sell to someone that wasn't already in the Xbox ecosystem.
Everything is an Xbox.
Yeah, everything had to be an Xbox, and it turns out that none of these were a satisfactory.
If everything, like, becomes an Xbox, then nothing is.
Yes, you beat me to it. I was trying to get that together.
But yes, I too saw The Incredibles. But broadly speaking, this strategy could not work unless it worked, and cloud didn't work, and no amount of putting it in beta and trying, like, you know, it being in beta, like, you know, it was clear that it didn't work well enough that they figured they could get it out to everyone. And, like, you know, after years and years of it being a dead letter, it just eventually, like, well, it doesn't matter. Like, it no longer matters. Like, Game Pass is still there. They still support it. I'm sure that, like, they will be willing to pay significantly less to get things on there, and it will slowly wind down, like most of these initiatives. Like, Microsoft is a king of, like, I think Games for Windows, like, officially died in, like, 2015, years after the last game that actually came out for it happened, and then it, like, kind of folded into the Windows Store and kind of did.
Microsoft.
Yeah.
So was it Amazon Games that folded and nobody realized it existed until they announced that?
No, Amazon Games still technically exists. They just cancel things every 3 minutes. Okay. They're the
there was
only
one of those. There's one of those that they announced that they were closing, and everyone was like, "What was this?"
If you have Prime, you can still download an app on your computer, and there's still a whole bunch of games you can play on there, I think. Or maybe
you have to buy Amazon Luna games.
Okay, or was it like PlayStation Plus and Xbox Gold, where you had to add it to your account during that window of time? I don't know, but to your point, it's like, oh yeah, huh, I have a whole bunch of games I could be playing on there right now because I still have Prime for 4 more days, but I don't want Prime anymore. I don't want to have Prime active all the time, you know? And that's it. I don't want to pay $15 or $18 or $20 or $25 or $30 a month to do this, you know? I'd rather just buy the games at this point. And I bought a PS3 again because I don't want to play your goddamn cloud bullshit on PS5. I'm sorry. So.
Internet service hasn't really improved, so cloud gaming still sucks. And I have fiber. Fiber Boy over here saying that.
Yeah,
let me be clear. I don't think that, like, internet, like, I've seen people credibly point out that, like, you're running into issues of, like, how fast light speed is.
Yeah.
Like, there's just a finite amount of responsiveness you can feasibly get unless, like, unless the data center is, like, right next to you. And as it turns out, as we have seen over and over, you don't want a data center to be right next.
No, you do not.
No. You'll have poisoned water and noise pollution.
They produce, yeah, they will drive you insane by hook or by crook.
Real quick, I just loaded up the Trails in the Sky first chapter on Switch 2, and just started doing a quest, and Estella's talking to this woman, and she's like, oh yeah, Joshua, he's very popular with the girls. And Estelle's like, what? He's popular? And she's like, oh, you didn't know that? It's like, what? Yeah. Joshua? He's popular?
Making me want to play that remake. I have so many Trails games to play. I can't play a new version of one I already beat.
Are all so tired. Give me one more question, and then let's talk to bed.
Did we answer B from Fireminer, or did we finally?
I don't think we did B.
A? Okay.
Yeah, I don't think we did B.
So B is both Google and Microsoft had a terrible habit of having some forward-thinking ideas in a product, then killing it without giving things a second go. The Zune came so late that there was no way it was going to be able to compete with the iPod, but it pioneered things like music subscription while audio files were still buying dedicated music players like it. Sony stick with the Walkman, and that brand still makes substantial money for them till now. Yes, remember the Zune? I never had a Zune because I got an iPod Classic like a normal person.
The only time I've ever seen a Zune was in Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
And I finally threw away my Google Daydream headset that they absolutely killed support for.
Yeah, that worked. That existed for like 7 minutes.
And I got it on sale. I used it with my Galaxy Note 9. And one day, my phone updates a Linux, an Android update, a brand new Android version, and then that's what happened. If you updated to the newest version of Android, it killed support for Daydream intentionally, and the only way that device works properly is if you go back to an old device that has the older version of Android, and there's no way to revert back to an early version of Android, because believe me, I tried, and yeah. So I just threw that out. So, yeah, I don't see a question in here. It's just a statement that he's just stating things that are true, and I appreciate that, but I don't see a question.
I think the question is more just ends up being like, is this the core of their problem? And like, ultimately, we kind of ended up addressing that by just talking about.
Yeah.
Like they can't stick with a strategy for long enough for it to bear any kind of fruit.
Right.
I mean, like, it's also just like the strategies that these big tech companies like Microsoft and Google end up employing are just sort of like, well, we'll muscle into the market and then like, you know, we'll just like question marks. Like, you know, mm-hmm. we have, you know, we'll be the big dog here. Like you, okay. Like, you know, some core business 101 here. If you're late to the market, you have to give people something they don't like. That is, it can't just be at parity with the old thing. It has to be good enough to get people. And they never answer this question. Like, theoretically, the Stadia's like. Point, like, we're going to pull that one out, is that, like, oh, well, you don't need to buy a real system. And it's like, okay, well, I need to pay a subscription and purchase game, and they don't run it, and they don't control well. They're at the mercy of my internet, and, like, yeah, it's just one of those things. It's like, well, between these three things, like, you can't have me do a subscription and individual purchase. Like, that's just a no-go.
Yeah, but for a moment there, I misheard you, and then I realized that, you know what, parody or parody, it really fits. Stadia was in no way a serious effort, unfortunately.
No,
yeah.
When he mentioned music subscriptions, I'm like, gee, actually, I have a memory of 2006, I was in school learning how to fix computers, and I remember I might have been on Vista, or I might have been, maybe it was Vista, but I remember opening Windows Media Player, and you could link to this subscription service, but you could get a free trial by putting in your email address, and I got like 3 free trials out of that, plus I think I had Rhapsody for a little while, but I found a program that could remove the DRM protection. So I got 3 months of free trials with this one Microsoft-sponsored service and just got to keep all the songs. Wow. How about that?
I'm looking at the Stadia subreddit.
Nice.
Now. The what?
Stadia subreddit.
It still exists.
They were funny.
Yeah, they never got.
Yeah.
They never got, like, the subreddit never went away, and it's mostly people been asking, like, I found a Stadia controller somewhere. Can I use it with anything else?
Yeah.
Not unless you.
I mean, the only real reason to remove a subreddit is if it goes so full on fascist that they have to destroy it. So, I mean.
Yeah, no, it yet exists. There.
Okay.
Yeah, someone saying I can't use my Stadia controller with Fedora Linux, which might be the most specific anyone's ever had.
Jesus. So, I mean, I pay for Apple Music every month, and I listen to it on my iPhone, and it's $10 or $11 a month. And yeah, there are methods I can employ to permanently add those songs, but like we talked about this before, like you don't get the metadata, so like what I can do is I can take my iPhone, and
okay,
and since I'm
going to stop you right there. We're not going to talk about hacking music files on our RP Gamer podcast.
Okay.
We'll talk about that in shenanigans.
Okay.
I'm tired, you're tired, we're all tired. Let's get this done.
Okay.
Two more questions if you want to answer them quick.
They're not really questions, I think. One's just talking about... Let's not talk about Windows Vista.
We'll come back to these next week.
Yeah, let's circle
They're in the Discord. You'll find them.
Yeah.
They're in the show notes.
Yes, we will keep them in the show notes for next week.
Yes.
What do you think about games using actual photos as backgrounds?
I don't know, we're going to get to it next week.
I think that's a great question for next week.
Yes.
Okay. Yes, it is.
That's what I think.
I think that I am going to ask questions about what books I can buy.
Oh boy.
Well, this summer is a wonderful time for new reading and old reading. Sometime around the end of next month, I'll be putting out episodes 14 and 15 of Princesses of the Pizza Parlor on Kindle and Kindle Unlimited, which will mark the end of the primary plot arc of the entire series. Plans to continue onward, but you know, I'm probably going to take a breather for a while because with these two, the entire series will officially have reached somewhere past War and Peace for length. So planning a sale at the end of August just to welcome these last two episodes into existence and hope people will enjoy. So that's Princesses of the Pizza Parlor for Kindle and Kindle Unlimited. And to keep going, let's see, that was the first item. Second item, Vainglorious, Long as the Night, Lit RPG, Kindle Unlimited, also under the name Michael Yarimizu, Yarimizu, Metroidvania, B-movies galore. Just I had a lot of really odd ideas with this one. Had a sale during Pride for this one, and it was... Some people actually picked it up, which is nice. Wish more people would actually, you know, leave a review or some stars anywhere for it. Hint, guys, anybody out there listening? Going down the list here, we have Tanuki is a Teapot, which is all Japanese folktales about animals. I'm slowly putting together enough for a second volume. Had some very interesting, random, and almost certainly never cataloged before in English stories in this volume and the next one. It's going to be fun. Let's see. Moving on to the other pen name, Michael Spearwater, Spearwater. We had a new book come out just last week. Called Monsters Among Us, Teenage Wasteland, which largely in spite of any attempts to publish it because the publisher was, what's the right word here, not a jerk, because you'd actually have to be in contact to be a jerk. Incompetent. There we go. Incompetent, that's the right word. Again, long story and short story and... The story's out there now. Please take a look. That's Monsters Among Us. Available on Kindle and Kindle Unlimited, among other things. And honestly, I'm running out of breath. So I will talk about other stuff another time.
So just check out the names Michael Spearwater, Michael Yarimizu, second Michael M-A-I-K-E-L, Yarimizu. Just the names are about as distinctive as I could get them for purpose of web search. So should not be hard to find. Okay, thank you. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. But yes, unique and individual names, you don't really appreciate that until you realize that your name is probably more generic than John Smith at this point. Hello. Everyone still here?
Yes.
Yep. Yeah, we're still here.
Yeah.
Platy, tell us about your pod.
Yes, if you are done reading for the night and just want to put on a podcast to listen to, I've got a couple recommendations. One, you can stay within the RP Gamer podcast realm and listen to David and Wheels and a dozen other people come guest with us. Kelly Ryan and I co-host RPG Backtrack, your bi-weekly nostalgia podcast. We look at RPGs that are two or more years old. We try to keep it at least a couple years before we talk about them, give everybody on staff a chance to play, and then go out and recruit a bunch of people. If you're listening to me right now, you can go back a couple days in your podcast feed and find David complaining about Persona 1 and probably praising a lot of Persona 2 stuff.
Yeah.
So there's that. If you are looking for more specific podcasts on Dragon Quest and all things Dragon Quest related media and whatnot, you can check me out on Dragon Quest Slime Time podcast. Wherever you're listening to this, you can probably find Dragon Quest Slime Time and RPG Backtrack as well.
Okay.
Hmm. Enjoy some slime.
Yes.
Joe.
I've asked this before, but does anybody get slimed on Slime Time? Do you have the Nickelodeon slime?
No.
Okay.
We for a long time we used to just play Mary Thwack Puff Puff.
I don't know what that means.
No, it's a Mary Fuck Kill.
Oh.
But with Slime Time, with it was Mary Thwack. Thwack's the instant death spell in.
Okay.
Dragon Quest, so
what?
No, we didn't slime people. We killed them and wanted some puff puffs.
Okay. Well, I kind of plugged already, but yes, you can find me on twitch.tv/rpgamer. I stream Tuesday and Thursday nights from around 10 p.m. to 12 a.m. Eastern Time, and this is JRPG July. So there's some regular streamers like me who are doing JRPGs this month. Although to be fair, JRPGs for like the past year on this channel, and in fact Mina the Howler was the only non-JRPG I've done over the past year, because I also did Visions of Mana, 10 Proud Nordics, Pokemon Legends EA, and so I'm committed to at least try to finish the first game this month, and I have been struggling a little bit, but now I've found some really good guides that I just need to have in while I'm in, so I know where the fuck the game wants me to go. And so check those out, please. And so not sure what I'm doing beyond July. Might be continuing to do Kingdom Hearts, or maybe I'll be doing Guy Mayhem or something. But yeah, consider checking those out. You can also follow me on Blue Sky. That's Joey at smokeandjoegamer.bsky.social, and you can find me on YouTube under Smoke and Joe Gamer. I have almost 5 on YouTube. Some of them have some views. There's some stuff from Braidvania that you may or may not like, but haven't really done anything new since like end of May, unfortunately. But I have been working on some music, so maybe I'll have some songs or backing tracks or something, or Ergo Soul Wing to share with you soon. but consider liking, subscribing, whatever the contextual thing is. Thank you very much. And Dave likes to do this bit where we over to the Discord server.
Yeah, you can ask questions in the Discord server like dear friend Yangus did. You can access the Discord server by going to rpgamer.com, clicking the community tab, which will have a continuing invite. If you it's a lovely place to chat, even if you don't want to ask a question. We always appreciate seeing questions in the podcast section. You can also ask us questions if you catch us when we're streaming, which is at least somewhere around 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. to midnight Eastern, until whenever one of us is too tired to go on and dies on Mondays. Otherwise, you can catch our sister show, Shenanigans, which is the more likely to be at 9 p.m. on 9 p.m. Pacific, midnight Eastern on Saturdays, Sundays. And it should be known that more than likely Wheels and Joe will be playing a multiplayer game like normal people, and I will be a curmudgeon that pops in occasionally to shout words.
Until Splatoon Raiders comes out, and then we will all.
Yeah. But I was pushing for Street Fighter 6 because I thought you wanted and play that with us, and then Wheels informs me that he no longer has PlayStation Plus and thus cannot play Street Fighter 6, and I said, well, it has crossplay, why don't you just get it on Switch 2? He said, no, then it would take up too much space on my hard drive. And he said, maybe I'll get it on Steam during a Steam sale. It's like, well, the Steam's ended, so great. Sorry.
I will get it at some point, but like, yeah.
But we've been playing Marvel Rivals and Overwatch, and reinstalling Overwatch, you fool.
But yeah, that about wraps it up for us. Thank you for showing up, Platy. We hope to see you again sooner than last time, but who can say?
And I've been invited to be on the Metaphor RPG back play, black cast, whatever the hell you call it.
Backtrack.
Oh my god. Backtrack. Butchered the name of the show.
Oh my god.
Uninvited, sorry.
Officially banned from the gamer.
Every RPGamer staff member is always invited.
Right.
True.
Sometimes I gotta.
Okay. But I've actually played this one. That's
So I have specifically reached yes.
Okay.
Next time I'm gonna send me. Next time there's a podcast, I will go into the meeting and just shout mean words at you. Like it won't. I won't even have played the game. Great.
Wow.
And then you'll be like, "What are you doing here?" And I'll be like, "You invited me. I invited you to this." Like, oh, you said the RP gamer staff are always in. And then you will be undone by my rhetorical wit and forced to accept that I get to stand there and shout invective at you.
Most illogical.
And then I want to give a quick shout out to some of my regular viewers and chatters on with RP Game. So Nook is cool. Mon Cappy's a cool dude. And we did get some new people who are not bots, so I think Ark is cool. I'm just going to say that. So.
And that concludes our podcast.
And Google Answer, of course. Sorry.
Yes. That concludes our podcast. Something.
And thanks to Tuber666 for...
Oh, yes, thank you, Tuber666. No, don't apologize. It's good to thank the people that show up in chat.
Yep.
And thank you to Fireminer for providing questions that we partially answered. We'll be back. Okay, I'm tired. See you, Space Cowboys.
See ya.
This is Mole Man in the morning. Good Mole Man
good
to
mole
you.
Mole Man to you.
Just ready this time.
Now.